Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Looking for your weather report? You'll get it. But you'll get it right at 12:30 today as we hit the afternoon. But it looks like it's going to be an outstanding weather report today. Let's obviously get into what's going on in the world and sports, and they've kind of intermingling at this point. And we say good morning to Chris Canty. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Dave.
How are you? How was your
weekend?
I'm
doing well. It was a good weekend for me. Threw some ribs and some steaks on the grill. You know, kind of just kicked back, relaxed, and hanged out with the old lady. So it was all good. It was a good weekend.
I like to hear that. And good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Dave. I will tell you this, though. If I spend any more time in the pool, I mean, my bedroom's going to turn into the sex scene from Shape of Water at this point, because I'll be growing gills here shortly.
I don't know where to go with that. A lot of pool time this weekend, I'd imagine.
A lot of pool time, baby.
Oh, what a weekend.
Beautiful weekend. Beautiful day today. We'll get the weather report, right around 12:30-ish?
Right, yeah, right at 12:30 when we find out what time you went to bed last night as well, yes.
Oh, that game is sweeping the nation, baby. Sweeping
I heard. The nation. I actually heard out west with the time difference, it's explosive, yes. The whole calculating for the three-hour difference is explosive, absolutely. So, a lot to do. Rich Cimino going to join us right at 11 o'clock. Article on Joe Douglas about the direction of the Jets. So, we'll get into that. Obviously, we'll do CMT. I heard early discussion today on CMT. So, that's a big stuff at 11:30. We got an observation at 12:30. We got the weather report. We got it all. And we continue to start the show with, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people say the sports world and then the real world. And this is one of the few times, Chris, where the sports world and the real world are really one in the same, and that's where we are this morning.
No, that's exactly where we are, Dave. You saw over the weekend NBA players were protesting. I think DeMar DeRozan, Russell Westbrook, and Kendrick Lamar out in Southern California participated in the protest. But, I mean, players recognize the platform that they have and how huge a voice that they have, and they want to take advantage of what's going on in this country. They want to use that in a positive way to promote the change that they would like to see. And I just applaud those players that are taking it upon themselves to do that. I think that most Americans should take a page out of what those players are doing. Everybody has a role to play. Figure out what your role is and do the work. I think that's important to recognize. You also saw Adrian Peterson talking about what he expects to see this fall with players taking a knee in formal peaceful protest. I think that everybody sees where we're at as a country, and they're tired of coming up with excuses as to why we shouldn't address the issue that Colin Kaepernick protested about back in 2016 which was police brutality and social injustice and racial inequality. So I think people are tired of excuses, and that's why you're continuing to see protests and demonstrations around the world.
Yeah, I think you have everyone's attention. I mean, this is an important time. I mean, everyone has taken notice, and everyone either, you know, that has been, you know, on the sideline, not participating, or just, you know, trying to ignore what was right in front of their face that was going on. You can't ignore it anymore. Like Chris said, I mean, you made a great point. There's no more excuses. Like, this is the time. Because of what happened, because everyone saw that video, the circumstances of this pandemic, you have everyone's attention now. And now is the opportunity with this platform to actually make some change and make a difference. And I love what the players did, you know, releasing that video, put pressure on the NFL. Mm-hmm. Goodell came out with his video, and I like what Drew Brees did, coming back at President Trump. Trump, you know, with the support, and then Drew Brees saying, you know what, it isn't about the flag. My eyes have been open. This is about the message, and let's not get distracted from, like we did the first time, where the message was hijacked, and people didn't focus on what was being protested. Now everyone needs to come together and focus on what the message actually is and start to make some significant changes now.
And it feels like we're further down the road, and the NFL feels like they're going to really, really back the players this time, which they did not do last time. You mentioned the statement from the commissioner. Now, in typical, and anybody, especially NFL fashion, it was 6:30 on a Friday that they put this thing out. But you can't hide this. When the NFL makes a statement like this, you can't hide it. And it wasn't hidden, and it won't be. And here is the commissioner of the NFL from Friday.
It has been a difficult time for our country, in particular black people in our country. First, my condolences to the families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and all the families who have endured police brutality. We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. We, the National Football League, believe black lives matter. I personally protest with you and want to be part of the much needed change in this country. Without black players, there would be no National Football League. And the protests around the country are emblematic of the centuries of silence, inequality, and oppression of black players, coaches, fans, and staff. We are listening. I am listening. And I will be reaching out to players who have raised their voices and others on how we can improve and go forward for a better and more united NFL family.
And that is the commissioner from Friday. And Chris, it feels like it's the first time that the commissioner really, really took a side here and said it's not okay anymore and we fully back our players moving forward.
Well, I don't think the players left him any choice. And you saw the reports come out over the weekend about the NFL media employee Brendan Minter, who went rogue and decided that he was going to take it upon himself to reach out to the players that were featured in the video and try to put something together. I think the players utilizing that platform, exercising that degree of agency, boxed Roger Goodell into a corner, and he had no choice but to address it and to actually stand up and acknowledge the things that the players were saying and stipulating what the NFL was going to stand for in regards to, you know, social injustice and racism in this country. Like, the NFL has taken a clear stance. This can't be interpreted any other way. Like, the NFL league office, the commissioner has come out and said, this is where we are. We're going to condemn racism. We were wrong to try to silence our players. And by that admission, I think you're going to see a drastic shift in terms of what the NFL is going to do surrounding player protests and player activism in communities. I don't think they have any choice. Now, the interesting thing would be to hear from the actual NFL owners. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what everybody is waiting on. I said it last week. When it comes to these particular issues, it's a matter of what's in your heart. And Roger Goodell can stand up and be the face of your league, but Roger Goodell can't speak for you individually as an owner. So I think everybody, all the fans of the National Football League and people that are not fans of football, they're still waiting to hear from the owners of these teams in regards to what their actual stance is on these particular issues.
It seems easy when you think about it. Like, we apologize because we didn't listen. I mean, it's 75% of your league. I mean, how do you choose 4 years ago not to listen? Now, all of a sudden, because the pressure is on, that you're gonna now listen? I mean, that frustrates me, man. I mean, I get finances and everything else, but I mean, it's on you as a league to understand what your employees, and this is a unique situation. I always say it. I mean, the employees are the product. I mean, what they're going through and what they need from you as a league to help them get their message across so they don't feel like, you know, that they have to protest during a national anthem. Like, if you gave them an outlet, if you actually listened and you could find a way to come together and work this thing out to do something positive, you know, maybe this wasn't something that needed to get as adversarial as it was.
You're right, Rick, but I don't think the country was there in 2016. It's clear to me that we're at a different place. Like, there's been a shift in the perception of the protests and what the actual issues were. I think people are more willing to listen to that now as opposed to back then. You talked about it all last week, how uncomfortable the conversation is for some. I think that most Americans, when they turned on the TV on Sunday, they just wanted to be entertained for 3 hours watching football. And when you had a player that was protesting in that way, not allow you to do that and to actually force you to critically think about some of the things that are happening in this country, in regards to racism and inequality, that was one of the things that the NFL looked at as bad for business. And a lot of their partners felt the same way. A lot of their sponsors felt the same way. So I don't want to be overly critical of the NFL's position, because I also recognize that that's where it felt like the majority of the country was back in 2016. But now we're in a completely different place.
Completely different. Now, the president last night at almost midnight, 11:54 on Sunday night, tweeted this. Could it be even remotely possible that in Roger Goodell's rather interesting statement of peace and reconciliation, he was intimating that it would be okay for the players to kneel or to not stand for the national anthem, thereby disrespecting our country and our flag? And the answer to that, in my opinion, is yes, it does feel like the commissioner is going to be okay if the players decide that that's what they want to do.
Well, I mean, it sounds like Adrian Peterson, I mean, he insinuated that that's exactly what's going to happen. And it's going to be a majority of the players that do it, both black and white, which would make sense. I mean, which is exactly what, I mean, Colin Kaepernick was trying to do 4 years ago. I guess my point in saying what I said, though, is this, is that, you know, how much time did we spend talking about the NFL draft and how, you know, with the extra time, nothing on TV, hopefully, and ABC did a good job of this, kind of telling the backstory of all the players. So you become emotionally attached to the players, right? I think that's important. Like, the most powerful aspect of the video the players put out was when player by player said, you know, I'm George Floyd. Like, for most people, I mean, you saw the video, but you don't always have the video. So it's a name, but you don't have a face to put to the name. I thought the powerful part of that video is it makes you think. Like, what if, you know, what if it was one of these guys you see every Sunday, one of your favorite football players that had it happen to him? Now would you wake up? Like, I mean, how many people were, oh, don't worry about COVID-19, it's only the flu, until Rudy Gobert gets it and the NBA shuts down. And all of a sudden it slaps you in the face, like, whoa, wow. I mean, if Rudy Gobert if he has it, this must be serious. The NBA's shutting down. Like, sports is that kind of powerful. Like, if you did a better job of, I mean, people love football. People love football players. I mean, how many Saquon Barkley jerseys, Odell Beckham? Like, they love football players. I think it's, if all of a sudden now it's a face that you recognize that's telling you the story. Because you can't just assume because this guy is, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. or whoever it is, makes all this money, that he's a black man that has the same things happen to him that just a regular black man has happened to him. So do a better job. I mean, you own a network. You have the NFL network. Tell some of these stories. Have these guys give you more you have the backstory into their life. And so you get, I mean, kind of, I think it wakes you up a little bit.
It does, Rick.
What people you see on TV have those experiences.
No, you're absolutely right. I think humanizing the players has a huge role to play in terms of being able to move the needle and change hearts and minds. And you saw UT head football coach Tom Herman suggest that this weekend in his statement and what he was talking about. And so, yeah, I think that's absolutely important. But I think 4 years ago, we were in a time and space where it felt like the fans weren't concerned with any views that the players had that didn't align with what their views were. A lot of people didn't want to see it from the player's perspective. It was easier to ignore it and to just continue to go on business as usual and revel in privilege. But the reality is that we're no longer in a place where we can do that, because everybody saw the video with Derek Chauvin kneeling on George Floyd's neck for over 8 minutes and killing him. You know, when we talk about police brutality, we're usually talking about snap judgments, things that happen really quickly. But what Derek Chauvin did was deliberate. And I don't think anybody can deny that race had a huge part to play in how he was treated and the events that ultimately led to his death. So I think that's when America was forced to look in the mirror and say, well, we might not consider our own, you know, views or ideologies to be racist, but we live in a country where this was actually looked at as normal. Like, this type of treatment toward black Americans was normalized. I mean, that's the part of it where I think everybody has a hard time processing it, and everybody was forced to recognize that something's got to be done. And now seeing this huge shift in momentum, and now people are starting to be on board with the message that Colin Kaepernick delivered over 4 years ago, and the NFL has seemingly got on board. Now, we'll have to wait and see what the owners say, But based on what we saw Roger Goodell do, I think it's a huge step in the right direction.
Yeah, but here's what I don't understand is this. And Chris, I want to ask you this question. Why is it so different with the NFL and the NBA? Is it because it's a partnership? Because it doesn't seem like we're talking about, you know, sponsors, you know, backing out or anything else when NBA players take stands for social justice. I mean, that never seems to be an issue with the NBA.
Like, well, I don't think it's an issue with the NBA because the dynamic is different. The career lifespan is a little bit longer. So I think that the NBA recognizes that it's going to have to be more of a true partnership. The NBA promotes the individual players, whereas the NFL promotes the teams and the shield. And so because you have so much turnover in the NFL, because it's so many more players, because they're not as visible, they wear helmets when they're playing, it's a little bit different in terms of how the teams handle the players and their individual platforms versus with the NBA, the individual platform is synonymous with the team and the league. So I just look at it from the stance that the NFL has gotten used to doing business a certain way and they're slow to change, but I think that they're recognizing that they have to change because the court of public opinion has weighed in and everybody overwhelmingly has sided with trying to support the things that Colin Kaepernick took a stand for in terms of racial inequality, racism, and social injustice.
Now, they were talking about Dan Graziano had a statement over the weekend about how the owners last time out were so concerned about the bottom line and so concerned about the luxury boxes not filling up and just financially taking a hit. And maybe we're past the point where they look at it and say it's all about the money and there's more important things. But you're right, Rick, and it's confusing as to why the NBA seems to really, for lack of a better term, do the right thing when it comes to supporting their players, and the NFL feels much more disjointed, I guess would be the term I'd use.
Yeah, I don't ever hear. I mean, there's been a bunch of different, I mean, between, you know, that what happened with Donald Sterling and that, I mean, you've seen NBA players stand up for what they believe in, and I never heard the NBA use, you know, financial loss as an excuse to why they're not going to let their players go out and be a part of that, as opposed to the NFL, where uses it. I mean, that's all we hear about.
Right. And maybe I just haven't heard it, but I don't know that it's happened that an NBA owner has come out and said, we don't support this. Right. You had NFL owners last time come out and say, we are not doing these things. Like, matter of factly, that's not how we're going to choose to protest. You haven't really heard that in the NBA.
Well, because it feels like more of a partnership. I mean, the NBA, because they have, you know, because it feels like they have a working relationship with their players feel like, you know, they have the ability to do things like that. And then when, you know, the time comes that the NBA has to have a conversation with the players, like, hey, listen, could you do us a favor? Could we not do this during the national anthem? The players are willing to listen because they have outlets in the support of the NBA to find different ways to do it. The NFL doesn't feel like, I mean, that's the case at all. Like, now all of a sudden you want to listen? I mean, maybe had you listened, you know, before this whole thing started, that you would ask Colin Kaepernick, how can we help? Oh, what can we do? Because, I mean, I remember saying this at the time. My biggest fear with what he was doing was that people that didn't want to listen would use the national anthem as the excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, that ended up being what happened.
That's exactly what happened.
And the NFL puts the other players in a tough spot because the other players want to support him, but they know, you know what? I mean, who knows if they cut me or not if I decide to take a knee.
And let's be fair. If you're the 52nd guy on a team and you take a knee with Colin Kaepernick, you know what? There's probably a decent chance that you're not going to be back the next season.
Yeah, that's what they're thinking. And that puts them in a tough spot.
Yeah, that's absolutely what the players are thinking. But I think the nature of the sport and the nature of the business that you're involved in dictates to what degree the owners can dictate to the players. I mean, if you're talking about a guy having a fully guaranteed max contract making $40 million a year and he wants to take a stand on a social issue, it's going to be a little bit different for that owner in terms of how he's going to address that player and try to come to some middle ground. But with the NFL, because you don't have guaranteed contracts and because you have this seemingly endless supply of players, you know, unless you're talking about somebody like a quarterback, it's pretty easy to silence that guy's voice. And so I think that absolutely plays a role in terms of how the different leagues handle players that choose to be activists. But again, I don't think that any sports league has any choice when it comes to this particular issue, because I don't believe that there's any middle ground. I mean, you saw it over the weekend with the Carolina Panthers did and the Charlotte Hornets did to CPI Security and their CEO, Ken Gill. I mean, they're severed their business ties because of a tweet that he made.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new normal in our world as it pertains to issues of race and inequality. And so I just don't think professional sports teams have the luxury of being able to play this one down the middle. I mean, most of the time teams will choose to take that approach because that's how you can include the most people and have the most eyeballs on your product. But I don't think that the NFL can do that anymore. And so I think Roger Goodell is recognizing that. He has some awareness of that. It's now up to the owners in terms of how they're going to handle it, because no doubt the owners will be asked about this the first time that they're interviewed in front of a camera.
Don't you almost feel like you wish that the owners, specifically like a Bob Kraft or a Jerry Jones, would come out with a statement of solidarity among the all the owners? Like,
no, I want to hear from Woody Johnson. Who I want to hear from. I mean, you saw the president's feelings on everything that's going on and players considering the possibility of protesting during the national anthem. You saw his tweet over the weekend. I mean, Woody Johnson is an ambassador to the UK for this administration. I want to hear what he has to say. I think he owes it to his fan base, as do the other owners to their fan bases. Again, this comes down to being a heart issue. This can't be about money. And so I'm actually looking forward to hearing from them, because I think they can have a huge impact in terms of how the issues are viewed and where we go from here. The owners have nearly unlimited resources. I mean, they can have a huge impact in terms of continuing to encourage the conversation, facilitate constructive dialogue that ultimately ends up leading to policies being implemented to protect black and brown Americans. I honestly think that this is a huge opportunity for them, and that's why I'm excited to hear from them, because we've heard from Roger Goodell. It seems like the league office has taken this stance. This is what we want our league to be about. Now we just want to hear that reiterated from the owners.
Yep. Yep. And a lot of them took the other stance last time. 4 years ago, Jerry Jones went the complete opposite way. It's time for change. I mean, here we are. We're at a crossroads, and the NFL owners can make a difference. This is their opportunity. I look forward to them doing the right thing here.
No, I think they have no choice. Yeah. They don't have a choice, too. I mean, you can't turn a blind eye. I mean, you can't turn a blind eye to this anymore. And I mean, I think that they would always kind of go back to, you know, the players that were really the faces of the NFL, the quarterbacks, were they're mostly white, right? They're mostly white quarterbacks. That's not the case anymore. Your best quarterbacks are black now.
Yeah.
The faces of your franchise, the best player in your league, maybe the best athlete on the planet currently is Pat Mahomes. And Pat Mahomes was in that video. The reigning MVP is Lamar Jackson. I mean, that's where the league is now. They need to realize that and help support their players.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is important to their players, and you can see that.
You know, Rick, you were talking about Drew Brees and his rebuttal of Donald Trump's criticisms on Friday night. I thought his wife did a great job on social media this weekend in her post. And one of the little excerpts from her post, she said, "To say I don't agree with disrespecting the flag, I now understand," was also saying, "I don't understand what the problem really is. I don't understand what you're fighting for, and I'm not willing to hear you because of our preconceived notions of what the flag means to us. That's the problem. We're not listening. White America is not hearing. We're not actively looking for racial prejudice." I thought that encapsulated everything that happened back in 2016. That's where we were, but we're not there now. And by her acknowledging it, by Roger Goodell acknowledging the player's video that came out on Thursday, like, these are huge strides that are being made. And I think that the NFL owners are next in line to help us make another big jump.
It's
just a question of now whether they're going to do it, you know, sooner in terms of being able to capture some of the momentum that we already have.
Why not sooner, Chris? I don't, like, why would you not, and I'm not saying it has to be this hurry statement, it's got to come out today, but why would you not do something sooner rather than later where this is the issue right now?
Well, I mean, you might not do anything right now just because you're trying to process it all yourself. You know, I mean, you're going to have to be incredibly introspective right now. I think that's where everybody is. And so if you believe something for the majority of your life and then to ultimately have your belief system challenged, it's going to take some time for you to come around. So I get that. Every person deserves that. But we also have to recognize that we need to have urgency in addressing the issue, because it's costing people their lives. It's costing Americans their lives.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely is. All right, Kimberly Martin, NFL reporter, new to ESPN, was on Golic and Wingo this morning, and she said she expects significant number of players to be kneeling during the anthem this year.
All the people that I've spoken to throughout the league, they expect record numbers of players to kneel in week one. And I'll be honest, that was surprising to me, because I wondered if people would want to just get rid of the steer away from the anthem controversy, only because the Drew Brees situation this week made it explode and that took the focus away from the actual issues at hand, and took us back to a conversation from 4 years ago. But conversations that I had, people are expecting players to kneel. One GM told me he expects more white players than before the kneel.
So there you have it. I mean, that's looks like where we are in 2020 in the NFL season when we get around to it in September, that the amount of kneeling will dwarf what we had a couple of years ago.
Yeah, because that's exactly what's going to happen. Because now, I mean, you've seen this with all the sports. I mean, NHL, I mean, you name the sport. People are outraged, and people want to show their support. And that, again, I mean, just not only was it the anthem and the flag and everything else, the other convenient excuse was, look, there's not many white players kneeling next to Colin Kaepernick. Well, guess what? Because they felt the same thing the black players did. We want to kneel. We want to support. But we feel like, I mean, we can't risk giving up our job. Like, our security is also important. And because the league wasn't behind them, then they couldn't do it. So, of course you're going to see, I would hope with all these Zoom calls and everything else, that these teams are actually listening to their players and are going to come up with, you know, with a solution moving forward. What they're going to do as a team, as one, as opposed to, you know, a handful of guys here and a handful of guys there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's bonus. Just a matter of whether the teams are going to be willing to absorb some of the backlash that's going to come along with deciding to allow the players to peacefully protest during the national anthem. Because, I mean, we heard it back then. Even Giants owner John Mara said, you know, he hadn't received more email from fans about one particular topic than he did about the protests that happened during the national anthem. And so our team's going to be able to, you know, deal with that and still take a stance for, you know, their players, you know, exercising their rights to make that statement on their platform. I got to believe that they will. From what Roger Goodell says, it doesn't sound like they would have any other choice but to allow it. Otherwise, they would seem like they're being hypocritical. But I mean, that's still something that remains to be seen, guys, because that still is one of those opinions that's out there. Even with everything that's going on, there are folks that believe that no matter what, you should stand during the national anthem. And I don't see the majority of the players in the NFL being there. So the NFL teams are caught in an interesting place. But I do believe that based on the events that have happened the last couple of weeks, they don't really have a choice but to side with the players.
Yeah, it feels like that's the case right now. We want to remind you can listen to us anywhere you go in the entire world. Click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com, find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go, or for that matter, where you don't go. Nowadays. All right, 800-919-3776. We'll get into where we are with Major League Baseball in just a moment. And Buster only was on Golic and Wingo this morning, and it certainly is not optimistic news, but let's go to Spike in Jersey to lead us off on a Monday. Good morning, Spike. How you doing?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for getting me on. I have an interesting perspective on this. Obviously, I'm not the demo, but I've been through this before, as I've mentioned on a few programs. Getting picked up about Leonard Hamilton's comment, if you guys just read it, if you choose to read it on the air or not. He has a very interesting perspective because he broke the color barrier, so to speak, at a number of places. And he's been around a long time. I guess he's early 70s like I am. And he has a plan. You know, he's disappointed like we all are. And I have a unique situation because my kid's a cop. And I see both sides of it. And I don't know if I mentioned it to you guys, but he came home, put his head down between his legs. He doesn't live here anymore. But and he looked at his mom, and then he goes, I don't know what's going on. Everybody hates us. But I got to get some sleep and want to say hello, and I'm going to go back out and do what I'm supposed to do. And he asked me about the 60s, and I tried to explain it to him. It was much worse in the 60s. The difference is now we have all these phones and iPhones, and the news cycle is so scary. But I just want to check in on you guys. I think it's going to get better. I hope and pray it does. I really think so. You guys got four kids, and Chris, you'll have get married and have a family, and they'll be lucky to have you and your significant other. And the world's got to be a better place because this got to be fixed. Now is the time, guys. So be safe, enjoy the good weather, and take care of your loved ones.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. And Spike certainly sounds saddened today, as a lot of us are. And Leonard Hamilton said this the other day. It was a worldwide epidemic. We'll have more opportunities to play basketball. But this is bigger than basketball, and that he's glad that the league has decided to take action and proceed with caution. So I think we do feel that this is the first time, maybe a long time, Chris, that we are heading in the right direction.
First time in my lifetime, Dave,
yeah,
where I felt like, you know, the majority of Americans are open and willing to listen to the plight of black and brown Americans and what's going on in our communities. So, I mean, I'm optimistic, but the one thing that Spike said, the time is now. It absolutely is. Like, we have to follow through on this. This can't be like some of the other conversations and demonstrations that happened, and the initial outrage and the outcry is at the forefront of the national consciousness, and then it goes away after a few weeks. That can't happen with this. We have to follow through on this. We have to see actual change. And I'm talking about at a systemic level, at an institutional level. We need to see legislation. We need to see policies enacted. We need to change how we're doing things, because some of the systems that we have in place to protect our freedoms, it's not working for all of the Americans. It's not working for black and brown Americans. And so I think that people need to be willing to listen. And right now it seems like we're making huge steps in order to start that dialogue. So I just want this to continue, but I ultimately want it to lead to actual change where we actually see a difference.
I just think in general, too, I mean, as far as the George Floyd video, the pandemic, I think it's a wake-up call for the country, period. I mean, just to take a step back and actually learn how to communicate again, learn how to listen. I mean, it's been a huge problem with this country is you can't even have – people can't even have conversations anymore. I mean, how many times do you sit at a dinner table and watch, you know, kids on phones or people on phones the entire time not say one word to each other?
All the time.
All the time. I mean, that's been one of the more positive things, if you can have any positive things to come out of this whole pandemic, is that, you know, you have families stuck in a house together where they're forced to actually have conversations, to check in, see how things are going. I mean, how many more conversations have you had with everybody you know during this
time?
You
have time. I mean,
that's exactly right.
You have more time on your hands than you normally would have, so you have the opportunity to do so.
Because normally, as a country, we've become a very selfish country that we're concerned about just us and just what affects us. And I don't think that's the case right now under these circumstances. You're more likely to pick up the phone and have a conversation with a friend or a family member or your kids, or to actually pay attention to what's going on in the news than you would ever before, because there's nothing else to distract you now. You're forced to deal with these issues now. I'm happy that the players have taken a stand and feel empowered now to go out and make a positive change. That's important stuff, man, because this younger generation, I mean, the younger generation really is the hope. to follow through on this.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. Like, millennials and Gen Z, like, they're the ones that are going to have to take us all the way home on this issue. And I think that the way that they see the world is different than the way that I saw the world coming up or my parents' generation. I think it's actually changed, you know, how we interact and what race relations are is different than it was 15, 20 years ago. And so I guess we should feel encouraged about it because the young people in this country are saying that they don't have any time for all of this nonsense. Like, you're seeing signs that during the protests that say white Americans are even tired of white racist BS. Like, that's where we are. And so I'm excited about what could happen. I just recognize that we have to follow through on this. This can't go away. We can't allow this movement to be squelched. We have to continue to press and press and press until we see the change that we want. I don't think this is a time that we can relent. And this doesn't feel like a time where the NFL players or professional athletes, period, are willing to entertain the idea of not protesting and not being engaged in activism. Like, that's not where we're at. So I think that the owners of all of these teams have to recognize that and respond, because without the players, they don't have a product. Roger Goodell said that in the video, and I thought that was another powerful thing that came out. The acknowledgement that we need these guys in order to have an NFL. It didn't feel like that before. Back in 2016, the message that was sent was, well, if you take a stance that we don't like, we'll blackball you.
Well, look at Colin
Kaepernick. Exactly what they did with Colin Kaepernick.
I mean, the guy took a stance, a peaceful stance. He pissed off a lot of people, for lack of a better term, and he hasn't played in the NFL since. So his concern, everyone's concern, was exactly right. And hopefully we get to a point where if you have a peaceful protest and you make a statement and you discuss why, that doesn't happen anymore. So maybe we have come far in 4 years. We'll find out.
I think we've come far, Dave. Now, I don't think that will help Colin Kaepernick get a job in the NFL.
No.
I'm still pessimistic about that. But what he wanted to see and what he wanted the NFL to take a stand on is actually happening. And to me, the NFL, the issues that they come and speak out about, they've been somewhat of a barometer in terms of where we're at overall in this country on how we feel about things. I mean, you guys have talked about it. The NFL seems like they're always late to the party. But the fact that the NFL did show up to this party, that lets you know, and I hate to characterize it as a party because I know how serious this is, but you understand what I mean. The fact that the NFL did show up and Roger Goodell did say what he said in that video on Friday night, that's what leads me to believe that the majority of Americans have had enough when it comes to racism.
And I think that's true. I think the majority of Americans have had enough. And I think that those have had enough need to take a stand now. This is the time. It's not, you know, in a year, in 18 months. This is the time. It is the number one story in the world going on right now. It's got tremendous momentum right now. It's being discussed on every talk show, every sports talk show, everywhere around the country, around the world. You see protests going on in Europe. This is the time. This is it.
Because that video, it doesn't allow you to ignore it anymore. It was so blatant, it was so disgusting that I would hope a huge majority of the people that saw that video were fed up and disgusted by it, and now get behind this movement and support it. And that, I, not just me, you, Chris, that includes the NFL owners that may have to, you know, lose some money along the way.
Okay,
to make
you know,
sure they stand up
okay.
For what's right.
That's listen. They're worth billions and billions of dollars. Their product, you know, doubles. I mean, it's okay if it means that the executive suite at Texas Stadium is not at capacity for a game. Then so be it.
You're right, Dave, but you know what? I don't know that the bottom line is going to be impacted the way that the NFL owners fear just because of, you know, where Americans are on this particular issue now,
know,
as opposed to where
like
they were in 2016.
Their concern. It feels like it's always, you know, that the issue of finances always is in the backdrop of the NFL owners. And for once, just, you know what? You're Jerry Jones, you're worth trillions of dollars. If you lose God knows whatever it is, then you lose that kind of, and I agree with you. I don't know that you will, but you have to take the risk that maybe you will to do the right thing this time.
Well, this is what we were talking about. The NFL usually tries to play things down the middle. I don't think the NFL has any choice in this particular situation, because if they don't take this stance, if the owners don't echo the sentiments of Roger Goodell in that video on Friday night, they're going to alienate a whole lot more people than they would if they did take the stance and did come out and condemn racism. Because I believe people that are still holding on to those beliefs and those ideologies are in the minority by far. And so to me, the NFL is at a point now where they've got to take a stance. They've got to choose one side or the other. And I think they're going to choose the side of the players.
Well, not only the players. I mean, just choose the side of what's right. I mean, it seems like, you know, supporting this should be down the middle.
It should be, Rick, but you know how these things get politicized, man. You saw what the president tweeted out last night. I mean, I'm not making it up. There are people that still want to hold on to this belief or this opinion that the players should not be allowed to peacefully protest during the national anthem.
But this doesn't feel like one of the ones. This does not feel like a situation where you can argue against it. This is almost like the SOB moment when the owners and the owners finally got on board with what the players are doing. You know what I mean? Like that feels like this kind of moment where there's only one right side. And, you know, if you want to have a conversation with your players where they don't feel like it's just lip service, like you're just saying these things to appease them, like if you can have a really, you know, really powerful conversation with all your players to find a way that maybe doesn't include the national anthem, if that's that important to you as an owner of your team, then start those conversations now. But if you don't, then you're going to have players kneel and you better be behind them, because they're starting to realize that you can't have a league without them. And they're going to do what's right, which is an important step for players, because that doesn't usually happen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, try to convince the players that during CBA negotiations is virtually impossible. Hey, fellas, guess what? If we don't play, they can't have a league. Yeah, how many phone calls you get? Well, we got to play. Well, didn't you hear what I just said to you? If we all just stick together, they can't play. But I need that paycheck, man. Okay. Oh, here we go. All right. Okay, we'll play. You guys win. We'll take a bad CBA because you guys just want to play. Perfect.
But I think the players have shown that they're over it. They're not worried about the financial implications anymore. Nor should they be.
Because they're stronger together. When you have this many players band together, black, white, I mean, that's powerful. Very. And people have to pay attention. Including the people that sign your checks have to pay attention.
Not only that, when you have Pat Mahomes and Michael Thomas and Saquon Barkley and all of the guys that were in that video, I mean, those guys are faces of the league.
Right. You had the elite players.
Yeah, they're elite players. It's not like the NFL can be dismissive of their point of view, their perspective on this issue. And again, like you said, Rick, like they're on the side of right. Like we said this way back in 2016, the people that had that strong reaction to Kaepernick protesting and thought that he shouldn't be doing it and didn't want to hear the message unless he did it in a more respectful way. We said it back then that those folks would find themselves on the wrong side of history. And we sit here in 2020 and it didn't take as long as I thought, but that's the reality of where the world is at, where the country is at. So, I mean, if you're the owners, I don't think you can approach it where you ask the players to protest in a different way, because that defeats the point. This is supposed to be bigger than any other thing that you would choose to use to deflect away from talking about the issues. You're talking about people's lives.
Let's quickly go to Kelsey in Westwood. Kelsey, you're on 98.7 ESPN. Kelsey in Westwood, Santi.
How are you guys? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you, Kelsey. Thanks.
All right. So I called earlier, on Friday, and please don't take this as offense. I don't even listen to ESPN radio. It was left on when my husband uses my car. But, you know, I'm a second grade teacher, and I see the way young children look up to these NFL players, and they literally look at these players like heroes, like true idols. And they do, whether they wear the pink sneakers for breast cancer awareness, whatever the case is, they want to be like them. So we keep seeing all these messages on the news, on social media, about how it starts with this next generation. Well, here's the NFL's chance
to take it from these superheroes and bring it to the next generation. So give these messages about anti-racism, that they all have friends and of different colors and backgrounds. It's just, it could be so powerful.
Well, we appreciate the phone call, and I think you're 100% right. I think she is 100% right. This is the time to capitalize. And as a dad of two boys who are very impressionable, 9 and 13, all the, did you see what this guy said? Did you see what LeBron did? Did you see about Mahomes? Did you see what he's wearing? Did you see? So she's right. I mean, the players, and you guys saw this when you played professionally, players are revered by the little kids. So this is not shut up and dribble. This is, we have the power and we have a voice, and this is the time that it can be heard.
Should have thanked her for her service too, second grade teacher, for all those people homeschooling
right.
their kids.
Right.
I mean, what she's doing. No, but you're right. I mean, you can't argue that. And I think that, you know, the power of these athletes, what they say, what they do, sends the, I mean, if they send the right message, can be powerful for these young kids. Because, I mean, the reality is some of these kids don't, I mean, some white kids are in areas of the country where they don't have interactions very often with black kids. Mm-hmm. So they don't know, I mean, they wouldn't know that black kid's personal experience. Or, I mean, if they don't grow up in, you know, with, I don't care what race or what ethnicity, they, so to have your favorite player, who could be LeBron James or you name it, I mean, say these things, you're going to pay attention.
Right.
And if it affects him, then, you know, obviously it affects, you know, everybody. If I mean, LeBron James has, apparently, I mean, what would assume, you'd assume to be everything he could possibly want in life, but still has to deal with these, deal with racism. If it can happen to him, it can happen to anybody.
Yep.
So you got to open your eyes to that.
No, you absolutely have to, and I think that these sports leagues have a responsibility to amplify the voice of the athletes. You know, I think that, you know, the NFL back in 2016, they wanted to silence the protest, and they said, well, we're going to do it in another way, and it kind of diluted the impact that Colin Kaepernick's protest was going to have in terms of delivering the message. I think now is the time to turn up the volume on your players and what they're taking a stand for, because it's something that the majority of Americans can get behind. People want to listen to the message. Actually, Buster Olney goes into this a little bit in the article that he posted on .com over the weekend, and talking about the NFL and Major League Baseball and the NBA getting involved and working with their video game partners and other partners that they have in terms of being able to work in public service announcements regarding racism and equality and messages about police brutality, all of those things, incorporating that in all of the ways that the sports are consumed. I think that the teams, the owners have a tremendous opportunity. It's just a matter of, are they willing to use it? Are they going to take advantage of it? That remains to be seen. But I think that, you know, when you look at the sentiments of everybody that's engaged in the protest, again, I have to reiterate, there is no middle ground. I think that the NFL owners, along with all the other professional sports teams owners, have no choice but to side with the players. Now we're just waiting on them to do it publicly.
All right, today on ESPN Daily, which NBA teams will succeed in the return to play format? Zach Lowe breaks down who's got the best shot in the bubble. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. All right, let's bring him in. Andy from Merrick with our questions of the day. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, guys. I have a little left hook for you. Sorry, Rick. With Tua Tagovailoa entering the NFL this year.
Well, hang on a second.
Well said.
This is Chris, right? This is goes to Chris.
No, I'm setting it up.
Oh, okay.
What was Tua's last name again?
Tagovailoa. That's as close as I'm going to get.
Frank Tagovailoa.
There you go.
Tua Tagovailoa.
With
Tua entering the NFL this year, he is the rare Southpaw signal caller. Today's questions are all about left-handed quarterbacks.
Oh, lovely. All right. Okay.
Nice.
Starting with Christopher Lee Canty, this left-hander is the FBS's all-time leader in career wins for a quarterback and the last left-hander to throw a pass in the NFL. Who is he?
Huh. Leader for career wins in FBS.
And the last left-hander to throw a pass in the NFL.
Huh.
Is he a coach now?
He was last season.
I believe he still is, isn't he?
I'm not sure what his plans are for the 2020 season. It's been some changeover in that organization.
A lot of change in the organization. Okay.
May have snapped his leg, which gave the new quarterback the opportunity to play. Maybe the team that you were drafted by. First initial, maybe K.
I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on this one.
Help him out, Rick.
Kellen Moore.
There you go. Give him the bell. All right, Rick. ESPN's Steve Young ranks number 2 among left-handed quarterbacks in passing yards and passing touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me who's the number 1 lefty?
The number 1 left-handed quarterback. I'm going to go with Kenny Stabler.
No. Give me a second option here.
Second option?
37,000 yards, 247 touchdowns.
247. Oh, man.
And there's some New York flavor here, too.
Oh, is it Booms?
Boomer it is.
Oh, Boomer aside, nice. I should have known that.
Well done.
That seemed too
All
easy.
All right, David. Now, I don't know why they'd build a Mount Rushmore for left-handed quarterbacks.
Okay.
Don't be disrespectful to left-handers. Stop, please.
But if they did, it would be Steve Young, Boomer Esiason, Michael Vick, and Mark Brunell. David, can you tell me what college each of those 4 prolific left-handers went to?
All right, run through who you guys are. Boomer's Maryland.
Correct. Steve Young.
Steve Young is BYU.
Michael Vick.
Virginia Tech.
And Mark Brunell.
Mark Brunell is the, it's either
Pac-12, right?
Yeah, it's either Washington or Washington State.
Pick one. Come on, David.
It's Washington or Washington State. I think it's the University of Washington.
And you would be correct.
Oh, there we go.
Fantastic job, guys. As always, stay safe.
All right, it's beautiful. It's well done. Rick, you start your weekend on a high note.
Yeah, which is nice. Which is nice. I mean, get me going on a Monday. I mean, had a bad yesterday, but that's fine.
Why'd you have a bad yesterday?
I don't know why Kellen Noir couldn't come to me. I don't know what was going on with that one.
That's all right. It's a show we got it right. Who cares?
That's right. The show was correct.
Show was correct. And the reason why I didn't think Boomer right away is because I've put him to the side because he's not Boomer the quarterback. He's Boomer the coach of the hockey team.
I didn't know he was the coach of the team.
Yeah, he's the coach and GM of the team. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Is he the founding father of the team?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, he is. Oh, yeah. And he is not easy to play for, I can promise you that.
Really?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's not easy. But he's like the Bill Belichick of men's hockey.
So he really, honestly, truly cares about winning these games.
Not only does he care, you'll get fined. Like, if you don't bring the right, like, we have, like, 18 different jerseys with pant shells and socks. If you don't wear the right, like, we'll get the email. If you don't bring the right helmet, gloves, jersey, pant shell, and socks, you get fined.
Fined? Like, how much fines. Are they fining you?
It depends on who you are. I mean, could be $20, could be, it doesn't, I mean, it depends. Or he won't invite you to the next skate.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So you get ostracized from the team?
You get benched. Like, if we're up a goal late, he'll put the defensive guys on. If we're down a goal late, he'll put the offensive goal. Well, yeah, he's serious.
Wow. I kind of love it.
You have to love it. I mean, it equates to championships. You saw what we did in Lake Placid.
Kind of love it. It's terrific.
Maybe on the show with the MVP of that tournament, but I'm just saying.
Nice. Attaboys.
All right.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.